uninterrupted full match commentary of every Leeds United game,
home and away.
This is Radio Yorkshire.
Welcome along, Leeds United in action live tonight. They take on Middlesbrough, full match commentary on the way later on tonight. But first, I'm delighted to say, joining us in the studio is the former Leeds United head coach, Neil Redfern. Get your questions in at radio_Yorkshire. Anything you want to ask Neil, we've had plenty coming in. We are going to ask him all those questions. And for those asking, yeah, he did get parked up all right. Okay, I think we can leave that one alone now. This is Radio Yorkshire, Neil Redfern, live in the studio. Get your questions in. We're going to ask them all. Hopefully, he's going to answer them all as well. Neil Redfern, how are you doing, sir? You all right?
I'm very good, thanks, Mark. Yeah.
Sad how it ended at Rotherham. We'll tidy that one up quite quickly. Rug pulled from under your feet, it seems, from our point of view.
Well, it came as a shock because the message all the way up to the final weekend, you know, when I didn't get the sack after the Bolton game, was that, you know, keep plugging away, we know it's going to be tough. You know, we picked up some good results, you know, to beat people like Brighton and Hull City, and obviously Leeds away, they're good results. And we were still in there with a fighting chance, you know, to get ourselves out of trouble. And I'm convinced we would have stayed up. There's no two ways about it. But again, you know, we had two results that went against us, which were maybe, you know, were games we expected to win. But where we were at the time in the table, you know, we went, you know, we could have lost or won any game. So, you know, it's a bit disappointing. But at the end of the day, you've got to move on.
Yeah, you have got to move on. Move on quickly. Just can I ask you from the outset? I know on this show on a Monday night on the weekend review, we often looked at Rotherham and we wondered, you taking the job. But it seemed to us they were always going to be in the bottom six. It was always going to be a squeaky bum time, for want of a better phrase. It seemed the chairman lost his nerve.
Well, I mean, I think you're right. I think that, you know, where Rotherham are at this point in time, it was always going to be, you know, a tough task to keep him in the division. But like I said, we were only 2 points, you know, out the bottom three, to take ourselves out of the bottom three. We did have good results against sides. I mean, we beat Brighton at home, which was the first time they'd lost away from home. You know, we beat Leeds at Elland Road, which I think was the first time since 1963 or something. Rotherham had won at Elland Road. So we'd some really good results in between, you know, some good performances and close calls, you know, from defeats. So, you know, disappointing. Like I said, disappointing. And but I know in my own heart that, you know, I would have had a favourable outcome for Rotherham. I think, you know, with what we had and we'd have picked enough points up to keep in the division, and, you know, we'd have been able to kick on from there.
You move on. I know you've already been invited for talks for another position. So, I mean, are you looking to get straight back in, or are you going to wait and see?
Well, I spoke to Kilmarnock out of courtesy. They came on to me and they wanted to speak. So I went up to speak to them. I think probably at this point in time, it's maybe a position that's come too soon. But like I said, you know, I thought it was the right thing to go and speak to them, and you know, good people, and I wish them well.
Okay, lots of tweets coming in at radio_Yorkshire. If you want to get in touch with us, you can do. We're going to ask you questions, Neil. I appreciate some of them you can't answer, some of it you won't want to answer, but you said you're going to come in and tell us, so we will ask the questions. There's a lot of varying ones, people wanting to know. We'll just go through them and we'll chat in between them. But Gareth has asked a question. Is there a contractual Leeds United confidentiality clause? It says no sack manager's ever spoken out about the situation at Leeds.
Well, I don't know. I mean, listen, you know, my agreement was settled. And again, you know, for me, I've always spoke the truth. I've always been honest. You know, I've been honest in when we've won, and I've been honest in defeat. So I don't, you know, I don't see the problem in telling the truth. I can't see there being a problem in that. I mean, if there's a problem in that, then we've all got a problem.
Okay. Gary asks the question: would you ever consider coming back to Leeds in some capacity if we had a different owner?
Yeah, without a shadow of a doubt. You know, Leeds United is my club. as regards, you know, when I was a young boy and supported them. And, you know, I genuinely believe that, you know, given time and given you know, the right opportunity to carry on from, you know, from what we did last season, I think, you know, we could have been right at the beginning of something really good. You know, I look at these young players that have come through, and you know that the academy have worked and developed and brought through, and I had the chance to put in the first team that, you know, I think it was right at the beginning of something really special for Leeds United. And you know, that's not to say that it might not be special going forward, but the bottom line is, you know, I knew these players, and you know, I'd got the other senior players playing well. You know, and I think we could have took it on, and you know, I think we could have really made something of it.
Okay, let's have a look at your time then as Leeds United. Obviously, you had to step into the breach a few times before you finally got the big gig. When you got offered the job, Neil, you didn't take it straight away. There was a bit of to-ing and fro-ing. Can you tell us what that was all about?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, it just needed to be right. You know, and I think it needed to be right for the club, and I think that. You know, if I look back, the caretaker spell before Darko came in, probably the best run of results, you know, that season. I think 3 wins and a draw, you know, and probably some of the best football that the club had played for a long while. You know, and everybody buying into it, and everybody wanting to do well for it. And, you know, that came at a time when, you know, I stayed on my academy manager's wage and never asked for a penny more from the club. I thought it was important that we all mucked in, you know, at a time when, you know, we hadn't started the season great, and we needed to, you know, we needed to show a little bit of unity and a little bit of giving something back. You know, and, but again, you know, when it came round and it was full time, I think, you know, that's a different kettle of fish, and I think that I needed just that little bit of time. You know, not that I didn't want the job, because, you know, for me, you know, it's the epitome of what I could have done in my career, you know, to actually manage the club that, you know, that I love so much and that I supported as a young boy. But it needed to be right for, you know, for the club as well.
Was that apprehension partly because 2 managers before you had lasted 6 games apiece?
Well, I mean, all the messages were, you know, were right. You know, at the time, you know, I'd sort of worked quite closely with, you know, everybody at the, you know, with the club, the concern with the club, you know, through the academy. And, you know, it just seemed the right thing to do. I think it just seemed the right thing for everybody at the football club. I think that a lot of people had done, you know, a lot of good things for the club. You know, I'm talking about the academy now, and you know, and some of the staff, and you know, right down to the cleaners, and you know, and the people that cook the food at Thorpe Arch, and there'd been a lot of hard work put in, and I just think I felt that responsibility to go and, you know, and take it on and try and take it in a positive direction, you know, for those people, and obviously for the Leeds supporters as well. You know, they'd sort of been down through thick and thin, and you know, we had seen a little bit of chink of light. You know, with the caretaker spell, the 3 wins and the draw, which was a real positive spin, you know, and to see people, you know, enjoying the football again and so pleased with it was, you know, was something that I wanted to try and replicate and, you know, and give back to them.
You took on the job. What was it like when you were finally, it was your gig? What did it feel like? What did it mean to Neil Redfern?
Yeah, well, I think the first game full time was a defeat at Cardiff, you know, which was pretty hard to take, to be honest. And you know, Cardiff played well that day, and we didn't play anywhere near what we could play, you know. So from thinking everything was, you know, sunshine and roses, from the, you know, the 3 wins and a draw to then getting the first defeat was, you know, quite sobering. But I knew that, you know, where we were and the fact that it was such a young squad that, you know, it was going to be a little bit up and down, and you know, 2 forward and 1 back a little bit. But I did know also that there was enough in the squad and the young players that were coming through and the seniors that we got back involved, and you know, and the overseas players, to be fair, that had contributed, that there was enough in the squad to, you know, to start kicking on.
There's a belief from fans outside, Neil, that there was a split in the camp between the so-called homegrown, the English lads, and the Italian boys. Was that the case, or...?
I don't think there's so much of a split as such as, you know, I think that the overseas players had been used to working a certain way, and you know, and what were expected at a football club, and it was all new to him, you know. And I think that I think the toughness of the Championship as well, and I think what had happened maybe at that point when I came in as manager, I think some of them had perhaps run the course as they needed to come out and needed to have a breather. You know, because I think the toll of games, and you know, the fact that they were playing twice a week, you know, sometimes, and you know, the training schedule was totally different to what they were used to. You know, and I think at that point, obviously, some of them needing a breather.
Looking at it, we obviously hear then about the fact that you were put under pressure not to pick Mirko Antonucci at various stages. What can you tell us about that?
Well, I mean, the thing is with Mirko, he had a contractual thing. If he got so many goals that. That you know, he got another year. Now for me, that weren't a problem. You know, I mean, the kid were a fit kid. You know, he looked after himself. I think he's a good player. You know, he's got a lot of ability. I think again, he was another one that was finding it difficult to come to terms with the Championship at times. But he'd obviously got ability and he could finish. So you know, as a manager or the person in charge of, you know, picking the side and putting the side together and putting the side out there, for me, the kid had wanted to come back in the side. So, you know, that's where it ended for me. Now, whether that caused a problem further up, but that is, you know, is that's the club's problem. That's the club's, you know, that's something that needs to be sorted out. You know, if they shouldn't have given him that contract if, you know, if that's what it meant. But for me, you know, he were playing well and he needed to play.
Were you ever told at any point, you're not picking him, he's not playing, he better not be playing?
I was told about his contractual, you know, his contractual situation, and that it probably wouldn't be, you know, it wouldn't be in the best interests of the club to play him because, you know, it was, you know, he wasn't good if he had a long contract. Apparently it happened in Italy and it didn't work out where he had a long contract and he sort of sat back a bit, and I couldn't see that. You know, I just saw a good player. You know, I saw a player that were capable and that could score goals. That on his day was a match winner. That was starting to come to terms with the Championship. Had found it difficult at times and got bogged down a little bit with it. But, you know, for me, as the guy in charge, the one that picked the side, there's not a problem. You know, he warranted coming back in.
Giuseppe Belushi, what's he like as a person? He seems that the red mist comes down quite quickly, but I think we've seen from him this year, when he concentrates on football, he's a good player, isn't he?
They're good players. You know, technically, they're gifted players, the overseas players. You know, Giuseppe was, you know, he was a talented player. For me, Andonat, probably a little bit short for centre-half. You know, struggled a little bit at times physically. But a good footballer that could step out and play with the ball. I think one of his best games was, I think I brought him off the bench at Blackburn and sat him in midfield, and I thought he played really well. You know, I think he could play other positions. I think there were more strings to his bow. But again, you know, I think he was a player that found the Championship tough in that initial first season. And I think, you know, at times the fact that it was such a quick pace, you know, he liked to defend deep when I wanted to get the back four up the pitch, and I think that was an issue for him at times. But a player that on his day that could play well.
And looking at it, obviously, you had that settling in period. What was it like when you got your first win? What, you know, your first win as full-time manager?
Yeah, it's a great feeling because you want to win as many games as you can. And the difference between managing, you know, other clubs and managing Leeds United is that, you know, and I think I've said it before, is, you know, there's three results in football. And, you know, for most clubs, there's two that's acceptable and one that isn't. You know, at Leeds United, there's one that's acceptable. You've got to win. You know, and they want to see the side win every week because, you know, tradition says that Leeds United win, and that's something that you've got to, you know, you've got to contend with as, you know, as a manager. And you know, it's always good to get your first win as, you know, as the full time manager.
What was it like transfer window wise? What were your hopes and what were the realism of the situation?
Well, the recruitment side was took out of my hands. Obviously, I mean, I was consulted about, you know, players coming in and, you know, what would be good and what might not be good. And but by and large, players were brought in by Nicola Salerno. Some were good, some were not so good. You know, I think that's fair to say. You know, and like I said, I mean, I was basically employed as, you know, as a coach. You know, my title said basically head coach. You know, I mean, I was consulted at the end of the season by Andrew Umbers about, you know, possible signings and additions to the side. And, you know, I came up with a list, you know, people like Joey Barton and Jason Shackle and Matty Phillips at that was at QPR. You know, all good players, you know, and obviously Adams as well, that Tomo knew from, you know, from Stoke City, Charlie Adam. And these were all players that were interested. You know, at that time we contacted them, you know, through different sources, and you know they were genuinely interested in, you know, in coming to play for Leeds United, which is obviously, you know, is not difficult to sell because it's, you know, it's a top club.
Yeah, it is indeed. To me, there was a real sea change. FA Cup third round day, you went up to Sunderland. We saw Luke Murphy come back in from absolutely nowhere, and all of a sudden he became quite a key component in your team, as did Steve Morrison as well further down the line. What made you bring those boys back in?
Well, I think, to be honest with you, I mean, we had a good chat about, you know, me and Tom had a good chat about what we've got and, you know, and what we didn't have, and we did need some experience to come back in with these young players. You know, we couldn't expect them to shoulder all the burden, you know, of the season. You know, Luke Murphy's is a top player. There's no two ways about it. Steve Morrison, you know, he came with, you know, obviously a, you know, a difficult reputation to try and get over the fact that, you know, Becchio went and Morrison came in. But Steve Morrison is a good player. You know, he's a strong player that leads the line. You know, not always easy on the eye, but, you know, for us at that point in time, he did a real job for us. You know, he led that line, that lone striker line, when we played with, you know, the 4-2-3-1 system. You know, and he gave us a focal point when, you know, when we needed one, a real experienced focal point. And to be fair to the lad, I think he won the supporters round, you know, in the end. And, you know, at the end of the season, he started nicking a goal or two, and I think that we got him in a better place. I think Luke Murphy played really well, you know, when he came back in, and you know, I think they were important players for us.
Certainly had a key part. Would you have kept Steve Morrison if you'd have been here this year? Would you have sold him on, or would he stay?
No, I would have kept Steve. You know, I mean, I don't think Steve was as much as a problem as people thought, and I think what had happened is I think we got him in a better place, and I think that sometimes you just got to put people in a place where they feel more confident and, you know, are more aware of themselves. And, you know, it's I mean, it's a difficult place, you know, when you know, to play at Elland Road, you know, when people have made their mind up about it, it's a difficult place to go and play your trade. And, you know, what we said, that, you know, the most important thing that is that, you know, our togetherness in the dressing room and what we took out on the pitch, you know, and what really mattered is what we thought. And the players really started buying into that, you know, and I thought it'd give them that confidence to go out there and play. And Steve Morrison went through exactly that process. And to be fair to him, in the end, you know, he started getting a goal or two. And I think that, like I said, in a better set of circumstances, you know, Steve Morrison would have scored goals for us.
Okay, Neil Redfern in the studio with us live here on Radio Yorkshire. Looking forward to full match commentary. Leeds United against Middlesbrough will be on the way later on this evening. But he is here, Neil, to answer your questions at Radio_Yorkshire if you want to get them in. A lot of people wanting to know about the ins and outs and the background of Leeds. We'll put your questions to Neil. Do keep them coming in at Radio_Yorkshire. I asked you off air, I'll ask you again. Steve Thompson, it took you an eternity to get him in. It seemed everything was going well, and then the rug got pulled. Tell us what happened in respect to Steve Thompson.
Well, I mean, it's... For me, Steve Thompson did absolutely nothing wrong. You know, he got the letter, you know, informing him that he'd been relieved of his duties. Straight after the letter, you know, I phoned Nicola Salerno, who said, you know, it was nothing to do with him. It was Andrew Umbers. So I phoned Andrew Umbers, who said it was nothing to do with him. It was Nicola Salerno. So, you know, something had obviously gone off. But I just knew that, you know, it was nothing to do with Tomo. You couldn't meet a more... you know, amiable, outgoing, you know, genuine person as Steve, you know, and, you know, really disappointing for that to happen. And maybe, you know, that was the beginning of, you know, of the end.
Yeah. What was the reaction of the players? Because we hear things, we're round about Thorpe Arch, we get told things. We were led to believe that some of the players, maybe the Italian players, knew that Tomo was going to get suspended before you did. Can you cast any light on that?
Well, I mean, I heard the story. I mean, whether it was true or not, I don't know. And a lot of the players came, you know, to see me and obviously to see Steve before he went. And they were absolutely gutted because they'd, you know, we'd turned a corner. We'd been on a great run. You know, I think we were unbeaten, was it, in February and March or something like that. And, you know, we'd really turned the corner and, you know, and obviously Steve were integral to that and a real part of it. And, you know, I think that the players were, you know, were gutted that, you know, we're going to lose this team that, you know, was really gaining momentum. You know, and I think that's where the disappointment came.
We also got told that Sol Bamba wouldn't refuse to train that day, and that the words were exchanged between the players. Did Sol refuse to train that day?
I think Sol took it, you know, worse than a lot of players. You know, he's a really genuine kid, you know, and you know, he's a real leader. You know, he was a big plus for us in the dressing room. You knew we knew that. You know, he was the one player that, you know, we were responsible for perhaps bringing in because we knew him. You know, I knew of him, and we knew the type of qualities he would bring to the dressing room at the time when, you know, when we needed that leadership, and obviously Sol was one of them that, you know, took it to heart, and, you know, and obviously it really affected.
You said at that point you knew, you felt, you know, you could see things were going on above you. Was that done purely to undermine you and make your position untenable?
Well, on the outset, it looks like that. Yeah, I mean, I look at the game when we played Blackpool away and we got the point, and I think the point made us mathematically safe. We couldn't go down at that point. And then we had the international break, and during the international break, obviously, is when Tomo, you know, was obviously relieved of his duties. And, you know, from then on in, it was just, you know, it seemed to be just one thing after another. So, like I said, you know, at that point, it was obviously the beginning of the end.
I remember asking you up at Thorpe Arch if you'd thought about quitting. Did you come close to quitting at that time?
Yeah, I did, because, I mean, obviously it was wrong what happened to Steve. But not only Steve, I mean, I mean, I look at the redundancy process that happened during the summer, you know, which was carnage, really. You know, senior heads of department, you know, having to call their own departments. You know, it was a really slapshot way of doing it. You know, I'm sure that, you know, in most redundancy processes, companies come from the outside, and, you know, and it's professionally done, which was a real shame, because we lost some real good people, you know, within the academy and obviously at Thorpe Arch and at Ellen Road as well. You know, and it just seemed to be one thing after another, you know, under the guise of cost cutting.
Under the guise of cost cutting, you know, Chelino, I think he's quite proud of the way that he's got costs down. How would you sum up how he runs Leeds United?
He likes to be very much in charge of everything. I think he's got to have the final say on everything. I don't think he trusts people underneath to do what he wants to do. I think that, for me, you know, the strength or the quality of real leaders is, you know, is delegation, you know, and trusting your staff and trusting your people underneath. And I think that is, you know, is a quality that's missing.
What was your relationship like with him? Did you speak to him? Did you?
Well, initially, I got on really well with him. I remember my first meeting, and I came down Ellen Road, and, you know, he was going through the academy stuff, and, you know, he looked like he'd had a bad day, and I just said, you know, you need some help. He looked like he needed some help, and he did. You know, and again, you know, we went through the redundancy process, which for me was, you know, was a car crash of a process. You know, we lost, like I said, we lost some good people. You know, and it was a difficult time, and it's a difficult process to go through. But we all thought, or we're all buying into the fact that it needed to be done, because, you know, the club was in such a mess that, you know, it needed to be sorted out, and so everybody sort of went along with it. But as it went on, you know, I think that I think what I did find is that, you know, the more I was involved with him, or the more, you know, I got to speak to him, you know, how insecure he was. You know, as a person, you know, how insecure he was as a leader, really. You know, and I think that was, you know, obviously difficult to work with.
Looking at it, they're moving on, obviously, you know, Tomo went, and were you just told to get on with it? What happened after that?
Well, basically that, you know. I mean, obviously, I was in dialogue with Tomo constantly, and we talked about things, and you know, it was a real difficult time for me because, you know, I stuck my neck out for Tomo. I wanted to bring him in all along. You know, other people suggested, and I said no, I'll keep doing it, you know, until I can get Tomo in. You know, and when I did get him in, I knew the quality Steve would bring, and you know, and I knew, you know, we've been good mates for a long time, and I knew the type of person that he was, and I knew the type of football person that he was, moreover, and I knew what it would mean to, you know, to us as a pair and to the club more importantly. And you know, I think obviously the disappointment of losing Steve was really difficult to take.
The season from then, it seemed to unravel a little bit. Like you said, you were safe, you weren't going anywhere in terms of up or down. And then we came to Charlton. This is one the fans do want to know about. Six players unavailable on the eve of a game, literally seconds before you're getting on the bus. What was that like in your period? What was it like for you as manager, and what were you thinking at that time?
Well, disappointment, really. I mean, there's something that I can't prove. You know, it's something that, you know, you can't prove to this day. Players come in, and if they say they're injured, particularly at such short notice, when you're talking about a Friday before you're about to travel on the Friday, you know, it's difficult to prove otherwise. And when a player comes in and says he's injured, you know, the physios and, you know, the injured department have got to take him on face value. And but for six to go, I mean, the only one, you know, that maybe was a little bit different, maybe it was Antonucci, who went off injured on the Thursday, said he had a tight hip flexor, but he'd be fine for the Saturday, but obviously wasn't. But just a really difficult set of circumstances, you know. But the thing is, when it's such short notice, like it was on the Friday, we just had to try and scramble a team together and put a squad together and get ourselves down to Charlton and play the game, because obviously, you know, we still got to fulfil the fixture. It come at such short notice, you know, that we had to try and just get on with it and make the best of it.
I remember speaking after the game, and the dignity in which you handled the situation. I couldn't believe it at the time. I mean, what was it like there? You must have known that either Chiellini, someone's pulling those players' strings, or there's something going on. How hard is it to have to deal with that and turn up on Monday and just carry on with the training?
Well, it is, because, you know, when I spoke to the powers that be at the time, was Andrew Umbers, it was, you know, what's happened, why are they injured, you know? And I'm thinking, well, you know, surely you must know why they're injured. But, you know, it was all, well, you know, it's a freak set of events, and I had to go along with what it is. You know, these players seem to be out injured, you know, for whatever reason, but deep down you know full well, you know, why they're injured.
One player who wasn't injured, or was injured, but went anyway, was Gaetano Berardi. You said he probably shouldn't have gone with the team, but he opted to go. What did that mean to you as manager of Leeds United at that point?
Well, a big thing, and it meant a lot to the players as well. You know, and he had been injured, but he wanted to travel down, he wanted to play. And I think he went right up in the lads' estimation. I mean, the thing that it did do was galvanise the players, you know, at that point in time. You know, they were real togetherness anyway, because, you know, they come off the back of a good run, and they were playing well, they were finding their feet, they were finding themselves as individuals and collectively, you know, and I think that we had a real togetherness, and I think that the instances that were perhaps to, you know, separate the side or disrupt, actually had a real galvanising, you know, feel to it. And you know, it's one of them things that the players look back on and know, you know what I mean, and realise what happened. But what it did, what it just drew them closer together.
It was obviously at that point, coming to the end of your tenure, and again, you know, there was this deadline seemingly in place where you were going to be told what was going to happen. Was there a deadline in place?
Well, there was supposed to be. I mean, there was a caveat in my contract that basically said I had to be told by a certain date. Obviously that date elapsed, and you know, I mean, listen, I'm not stupid, I know, you know, the writing was on the wall, but what was important was, you know, at that point that I stood myself between, you know, what was happening and the players, you know, for the players' sake and for the supporters' sake, you know, it's important that we got through the season and, you know, and, you know, we finished as well as we could, you know, and we got through the season with as much dignity as we could because it was important. It was important for the football club. You know, Leeds United is a massive club, you know, and it's how that club's viewed, you know, from the outside, you know, and it's bigger than any individual and it's bigger than, you know, and it's bigger than most clubs in this country, you know, and the face of what goes out that's portrayed from this club, it's important that that face is upheld. So it's important that we got through that difficult time.
From when Mr. Chiellino got banned and obviously he wasn't allowed to be at the club, did you have much contact with him after that?
Only briefly, you know, only briefly. You know, day-to-day things were run by Andrew Umbers, who's not a football person. You know, he's an accountant, basically, or, you know, a legal person. But he, you know, he basically tried to sort of steady the ship, which was, which, you know, was becoming more and more difficult. You know, and again, you know, it was a difficult time to, you know, it was not having that person to go to or that person to relate to. You know, basically it was myself, you know, fronting up to the media and speaking about things and, you know, so it did become difficult. But, you know, I knew I had to get through it for the sake of, you know, of the sanctuary of the club.
What point? Where can you think of a particular point where you thought I'm not going to be here next year? When did it not say dawn on you? But when did you start thinking? Hang on.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest with you, I smelled a rat after you know the Tomo incident because you know what was being accused of. I knew that he wouldn't have done. You know, I just knew it. You know, and then obviously. I mean, what would have been easier is if we'd have got to that point and, you know, and you know, somebody or an official from the club would have sat us down and gone, look, Neil, you know, thanks for what you've done, you know, but come the end of the season, we're going to go in a different direction. I'd have been disappointed, but, you know, I'd have gone, look, fair play, you know, thanks very much. And, you know, I'd have seen it through for them, would have finished the job off as best we could. And then obviously somebody new would have come in. But, you know, to end it as it ended, you know, is disappointing.
You did make it through to the end of the season. All the players that we spoke to wanted you to stay on. There was not one of them. They all, to a man, said, yeah, you were the man. They wanted you to carry on. Was there a moment where you actually said goodbye to the squad? Did you get that opportunity?
Yeah, I mean, the last game of the season, had a rough idea, you know what I mean, what was happening, you know, after the Rotherham game, the final game. You know, and basically got together and thanked the players for all their hard work and effort. And they were very together as a group at that point. You know, they knew what they'd achieved and what they'd done. With, you know, from a difficult set of circumstances, you know, to sort of, you know, put a bit of light on and on the end of the season and the way it finished. So you know, it was always going to be difficult, but. You know, again, I was going into the close season blind, you know, about, you know, probably knowing what was going to happen, but with you know, with nothing definite, you know, in place as regards myself. But again, just had to get on with it and sort of soldier on.
Were you sounded out about any jobs last year? Because there were a few jobs locally we thought, that might be all right for you. Did you ever think about jumping ship yourself?
No. Listen, I mean, there were supposed to be clubs interested. You know, and obviously, every time the Barnsley job comes up, I'm linked with that. But to be honest with you, you know, for me, Leeds United is one of the biggest clubs in, you know, in the north of England, if not the country. You know, so to be in this position and be manager of this football club is, you know, is something every manager would want to do. So, you know, there were no thought in my mind, you know, to want to leave the club. But what I did have is, you know, a determination to try and see it through as best we could. So, you know, the season looked a little bit more respectable and, you know, and finished in a better light.
I'm going to ask you about the guys in the academy and the players that have come through, because a lot of fans are worried, concerned, excited about those guys as well. We've got a tweet in from Simon. You can tweet us at @Radio_Yorkshire. We'll put your questions soon, Neil. There's lots of them coming in, a lot of them quite generic. I think we're covering them as we're going along anyway. But Chris Dawson, Simon asked about Chris Dawson. How far do you think he can go if he can stay fit?
Well, to me, I mean, Chris is part of that group. You know, that Mowat, Byram, Taylor, Cook, you know, he's part of that. I think at the time, you know, when I was in charge, it probably weren't the right time to maybe put him in wholesale, you know, with the circumstances that we were in. You know, we did have quite a lot of young players in at the time. But for me, you know, Chris Dawson is, you know, he's an outstanding young talent. I think he's a player that can unlock it. He's got a change of pace, his low sense of gravity, he's got an eye for goal, he can create, he can score. You know, and he was part of a really top group of young players that, you know, are really coming to the fore.
And looking at the group then, we've got a question in from one of the guys wanting to know which one do you think will get international honours first out of that, going obviously the likes of Byram, Taylor, Mowat, Cook?
Yeah, well, for all different reasons. I mean, if I was a Premier League club at this moment in time where their young players are, I'd go for Charlie Taylor.
Yeah.
Again, everybody's got favourites, and you know, my favourite was Alex Mowat, the way he played, because of he played similar to how I played when I played. He's got an eye for goal, he's a goal scorer, goal scoring midfield player. I think Lewis Cook, long term, maybe eclipse, you know, the rest. But again, I mean, we're talking about players here, top young players that you know, are capable of going on. You know, and all capable of going on and representing the country. There's no two ways about that. And again, we've missed out people like Calvin Phillips, you know, another top young player. You know, for me, could have had more game time.
Is he a player, Neil, that should be going out on loan now? I mean, we saw Charlie Taylor go out on loan, and Greg's always saying it. These young lads, they need games to make them better players.
Well, they do, but I mean, you know. I mean, for me, he could have had more game time.
But is this the problem? He's not getting in under Steve. He gets on the bench now and again. Is he that worried, Steve, that he's thinking short term, I'll keep everyone here in case I need them, rather than thinking, well, in 12 months, he's going to be the centre of my midfield, so let's get him some games now?
Well, to be fair to, you know, what's happening at the moment, I mean, I can't comment on, you know, what's thought of or the plan or what's happening going forward. I mean, that, you know, that's down to other people. But, you know, for me, at the point of where he was, you know, he was a player that could have been used more, you know, more this season. Louis Coyle was another one to come into that. There were players underneath, you know, for me, that were capable. Alex Perver. You know, another top young player that, you know, perhaps hasn't had a sniff of it yet, but, you know, a player that can go on and play. Tyler Denton, you know, another one, you know, that could go on. I mean, I look at that under 21 side and, you know, and what it's capable of, and, you know, and what it had in it. And I think that, you know, with players, young players in particular, the development momentum's a real big thing. You know, to actually get in there and get the foot in the door and have that bit of a run and have that bit of momentum. And yeah, there's a time when they've got to come out. But sometimes you've got to be tough enough as a manager to, you know, to take an odd defeat on the chin, you know, to build and progress to the future. You know, and I think that, and I think you've got to be strong enough and brave enough as a manager to do it. And I think that, you know, and I think the big thing with Leeds United supporters is they can relate to their own. You know, you've got to remember that probably the best time that they've had as supporters when Don Revy was in charge and all these young players came in, and it was at a time when there wasn't much money at the club. You know, they had experienced players, a handful of experienced players, but basically had to play these young players and bring them through, you know, and work with them. And I think it's going out with the modern game where managers go and work with players and make them better, you know, and coaches work, you know, make these players better and give them the opportunity. Because for me, if you're planning the long term, then you've got to do it with people that can be in that long term plan, and obviously young players come into that.
You disappointed, by the way, what happened to Sam Byram? No new contract, or with the whole thing. I mean, we got offered a contract on less money, then they offered him another year on the same money. Are you disappointed how that's ended up for Leeds?
Yeah, I mean, listen, from the outside, it didn't look good. But the bottom line is that, you know, Sam's a top young player and he's a level-headed kid. And by the way, he's Leeds United daft, the kid. You know, he came through the academy. You know, I can remember him as a scrawny 15-year-old before he got his scholarship. And we actually had to play him down in the 16s, you know, to give him that development as a first-year scholar. And again, came good, came strong, but always had that edge, even as a young 15-year-old. Always had that edge to his game and that strength in his, you know, in his belief to go on and be a player. And it doesn't surprise me that he's playing Premier League football.
Yeah, would you have hoped if he'd have still been there, he'd still be there? Do you think you could have persuaded him to give it another go, or was the Premier League too?
Well, I'd like to think that, you know, I mean, listen, the utopia is to keep all of all your top young players and build and develop and be successful at the end of it, you know, and that is the main thing. You know, most sane and switched on football clubs would do that way. You know, it would have that process in place where your young assets are yours. You know, they're not there to be other people's, they're your own. You know, and you build round them and you build with them. You know, and if you look back to when Leeds United has been successful, that's what's happened. So, you know, but I do understand that sometimes players have to be sold on. You know, and but if you're going to build and you're serious about building and serious about competing, and when we're talking about Leeds United here, you know, then you've got to try and keep all your assets.
Okay. You said at the time when eventually the situation was resolved and Uwe Rosler came in, what was that like for you? You said that the offer was not a genuine offer to invite you back to the club. Can you tell us about the circumstances there?
Yeah, I mean, in my contract was a caveat to go back to being academy manager if, you know, the club deemed that, you know, they didn't want to keep me on as head coach. That was a situation. The club wanted to put in place a new contract. In the old contract there was no gardening leave. You know, in the new contract there was gardening leave. Obviously events led from one thing to another till I had the final meeting with Adam Pearson, who basically said that, you know, from the first day you come back you'll be placed on gardening leave for 12 months. So it wasn't a genuine offer. You know, it was always in the minds to put me out on gardening leave. It didn't end well for somebody perhaps that had, you know, done the best for them and, you know, stuck the neck out for them at a time, you know, when they needed help. But again, you know, there's nothing I can do about that now.
Are you resentful of how it ended?
Disappointed. Pleased that it ended in a positive way for the supporters. You know, pleased that for the supporters that they got to see, you know, these top young players, and it was the advent of these young players coming through. You know, pleased that we rejuvenated, you know, a lot of players, you know, that had found it difficult at times. You know, I'm talking about people like Luke Murphy and Steve Morrison. Pleased for them. You know, pleased for the fact that it galvanised the club, as daft as it seems, you know, through adversity and, you know, and other things, it really joined the club and got everybody together. You know, in my 6-7 years, it's the closest for me the supporters or the clubs felt with the supporters. You know, there were a real close bond there, and, you know, and a real want to win and want to be better as a club. So there were a lot of good things. You know, listen, you know, the thing is with football is that there's no one person that's ever bigger than the football club, and I don't, and I've said that before, and, you know, and it might seem an old cliche, but it's a fact. But what I can do is look back on my time at Leeds and, you know, and know that we were right at the beginning of something really special, and I think the supporters knew that.
Is that what hurts? You didn't get the chance to see it through in your own time?
Well, I think I could have built something special, if I'm honest. Mm-hmm. I do, yeah. You know, knowing what was in the academy, knowing what we had amongst the senior players and the feel that we had amongst them, knowing that the supporters knew that was the right way around. They knew that was the right way around. So, you know, that was the disappointment. But again, you know, it's an industry that's, you know, decided by, you know, the powers that be, and that's what they decided.
Okay, there is a small matter of Leeds United against Middlesbrough about to, about an hour or so away. Silvestri, Wootton, Belushi, Cooper and Taylor at the back. Cook and Bridcut, Diagaraga, Dallas, Dukara and Antonucci. I think that looks pretty unchanged off the top of my head. What do you make of the current Leeds team, Neil?
I think they've got a good squad. I think Leeds United's got a, you know, I think they've got a strong squad. You know, I like the look of Dallas. I like Bridcut. You know, Bridcut was somebody that was, you know, I mentioned to our head of recruitment, G. Evans at Rotherham, and Carriol. You know, I like him. I think Wood's going to get better, if I'm honest. You know, so I think the signings have been good. I think they're good additions, and you know, I think it's just getting that blend and that balance right, and having them have that belief to go and, you know, and to go and perform. And I think that once they get that, I think that I think as a side they'll take off. I think it's difficult to judge in, you know, over a short period of time. I think the bigger picture is that, you know, you've got to judge over a longer period of time, and obviously, you know, time is what, you know, most managers are after.
Yeah, you don't get it anymore. Greg always says he don't miss the fear of being sacked or the fact that, you know, it's short term. Does that worry you going back in?
No, not really, because nobody dies. You know, if you get sacked, you get the sack. You know, it's as simple as that. And, you know, it don't mean to say they're right. You know, they might have got it wrong. So, you know, it's disappointing because at the time it seems quite a personal thing. But there's nothing in football that's personal. You know, football's all about opinion. And what you've got to do as a football person is back your opinion. You know, and I'm strong enough in my belief. And, you know, I always did as a player. I always back me, you know, ability as a player. And, you know, and I do as a coach and a manager. You know, I think that the proof's in the pudding. I look at Leeds United's academy and you know, and what I've achieved with it, you know, over that period of time. And look at the players that have come through. And that's proof. So, you know, you can back it up.
Have you got any regrets about your time at Leeds?
None at all. You know, it's a great football club. It's a fantastic football club. It's unbelievably well supported. It's the same club I supported as a kid. Things have changed. You know, cultures change. You know, way of doing things change. But at the end of the day, it's still Leeds United. So, you know, I can't have any regrets.
If you saw Mr. Chelino in a bar in town, would you say hello? Would you ignore him?
I mean, listen, you know, if he's got a bigger plan, what I would do, the advice I'd give you, if he's got a bigger plan, you know, tell people what the bigger plan is, you know what I mean? And then it's not such a mystery all the time. I think that's the big thing. You know, and I think that is, and I think the big thing with, you know, with Yorkshire people is if you're honest and you fail, you know, you fail, you know, and I don't think there's any qualms about that, but, you know, it's the not knowing and, you know, and the mystery that, you know, supporters don't like.
What is, that's the big question, what is the plan? You know, we get told different things every week. He says one thing, he does another. Did you find that when you were head coach at Leeds?
Well, I mean, listen, I were in between him being banned and, you know, and not being there and being there. And, you know, on his day, he can be a charming man. You know what I mean? But I just think that, I think that football in this country, I think, is that he's got to get his head around the fact that it's different. You know what I mean? And he's got to, you know, like every other football chairman and every other football club, there's rules and regulations, and you've got to abide by them like everybody else. It's, you know, it's no different to him to everybody else. You know, I definitely think he's passionate about what he does. But I think, you know, I think he's found it difficult, if I'm honest.
He has found it difficult indeed. What do you resent him? Do you because he's forced you out of the club that you love, hasn't he?
Well, listen, he's not on my birthday card list, I'll put it that way. But you know, you've got to take it on a chin and move on. You know, I mean, if I were to think about it and dwell on it, then, you know, it'd probably start taking you under. You know, for my sake, you know, sanctity. I've got to be able to, you know, pick myself up and move on. You know, he's in charge of the football club. He's bought it. You know, it's his. And obviously, but is what he's got to realise is the bigger picture is it's not his. It belongs to the people of Leeds. It's Leeds United's. You know, and I think it's that marrying of the two together that's the bit that he's got to get right.
Do you think that Leeds can enjoy success under him, or do you think he has to go before the club can move on?
Well, it's difficult to tell, but at this moment in time, it's not looking like that. But again, you know, this guy, you know, he might have a bigger picture. He might have a plan. You know, I mean, if there's a problem with getting promoted now, then, you know, why not come out with it? You know, tell everybody, and then it's out there in the open. If there's a big bill or whatever, you know, tell people. You know what I mean? And then once it's shared, then the problem's shared, then they can move on. But again, it's that not knowing. I think that's what supporters don't like.
And looking at it then, do you look at, and you'll see on the telly the pictures of Steve and the things he's saying and having to deal with the off-the-field stuff. What would your advice be to anyone thinking, if the position came available tomorrow, what would be your advice to anyone that says, should I take that job?
Well, I think what you've got to do, first of all, is enjoy it. You know, it's still Leeds United Football Club, and I think you've got to lose yourself in your football. I think if you go in with the attitude not to expect too much on the other side, then you're not going to get too disappointed. But I think that I think you've got to go in there with a determination like anybody else that goes in there to make a fist of it and, you know, make them successful. Because once you do get that momentum and that roll, I know in the 2 months we had when we were unbeaten, you know, the February and the March, you know, the atmosphere and the feel around the club is something that's worth having. So, you know, there's definitely pluses there.
And looking back, how do you want Leeds fans to think of you as the guy who was at the club? What do you want them to think?
Listen, I'm one of them. They know that. You know what I mean? I mean, I supported Leeds as a kid. You know, Leeds has always been my club. And, you know, I feel like they feel, you know, and I want the club to be successful. You know, I mean, I'd love Leeds United to, you know, win 4-5-0 tonight. You know, it'd be great. Because I know it'll make everybody happy again. And, you know, once you start winning, you start getting results, it's a different club, you know. And I think that, you know, but I know Leeds United supporters are tough, and I know that they've been through some stuff, and I think they know it's always darkest before the dawn, and I think they know that if they stick it out, that there's something for them at the end of it.
I've asked you if you had any regrets. What was the best moment for you? You look back on one moment that makes you feel warm inside or think, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just the fact that... I mean, I remember the game when we played... I remember the game we played Huddersfield at home. I was in the caretaker spell. We beat them 3-0 down here at Ellen Road. And before the game, I turned round and I looked in the west stand and I could see the seats where I used to sit with my dad. And that moment in time, thinking that, wow, you know, from then as a kid, now manager of Leeds United, you know, it gave me a real buzz and a real good feeling. But listen, it's a fantastic club, and it'll always be a fantastic club. And, you know, hopefully it'll only get better in the future.
I mean, looking at it now, I've asked you, you probably won't come back under the current regime. Is something, though, that you remain open to long term?
Yeah, you know, you never say never. You know, if I had a chance to come back and work at Leeds United, I'd love to come back. But again, you know, it's probably difficult to see now, you know, in the short term, you know, with what's happening. But again, like you say, you never say never. So, you know, really enjoy my time there. You know that I can be successful. You know, whether it's working with young players and developing them and bringing them through, or, you know, or carrying, you know, what's expected of, you know, working with the first team. You know I can. And, you know, that's a good feeling to have.
Do you still keep in touch with any of the lads?
Yeah, I mean, I speak to a lot of the, you know, a lot of the young players. A lot of the young players ring us and ask for advice, you know, and speak about different things. And, you know, I'm always positive with them. You know, I always put a positive spin on it. Because at the end of the day, I'm not that type of person to carry, you know, grudges. It's important for them in their careers that, you know, that I give the right advice, and the right advice is positive, and it's good for Leeds United, you know. And you know, if I can help them or any other player, you know, to be successful for Leeds, then, you know, I'd always pass on advice.
And looking at it, the youth that are there now, which one, you know, the fans are always asking who's the next one to come along. In your opinion, who might that be?
I think it's difficult with young players because they all come at different times. You know, they all come at different spells, and, you know, they all have, you know, different ways of, you know, of getting to where they want to be. At this moment in time, there's a young striker, come wide player called Malik Wilkes. I think he's got a fantastic opportunity. I think he's got everything going for him. He's got a little bit of an edge because it hasn't always been great for him in his life. And they always usually make the better players. You know, I think back to like Fabian Delph, and, you know, and you know, slightly before my time, but obviously I was there when Fabian was there, and on the problems that, you know, that the club had, and, you know, that Lucy Ward in particular had, helping him and bringing him through. But they do carry that bit of an edge, you know, and that bit of, you know, a bit of desire to get where they want to get. And I think Malik's got that about him.